Let us listen to God's holy word that comes to us from the book of Jeremiah, the third chapter. We read the first 13 verses. In Jeremiah 3, verse 1, we hear God's holy and infallible word. They say, if a man put away his wife and she go from him and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. Yet return again to me, saith the Lord. Lift up thine eyes unto the high places and see where thou hast not been lean with. In the ways hast thou sat for them, as the Arabian in the wilderness, and thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain, and thou hast a whore's forehead, thou refusest to be ashamed. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my father, thou art the guide of my youth? Will he reserve his anger forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, thou hast spoken and done evil things as thou couldest. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw when for all the causes thereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. And yet for all this her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. The text for the sermon this afternoon we can find in chapter 3 of Jeremiah, the 14th verse. Jeremiah 3 verse 14 is the text for the sermon this afternoon. Let us read Jeremiah 3 verse 14. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you, one of a city, and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. So far, the text for the sermon this afternoon. Beloved congregation, if we read the first chapter of Jeremiah, we read in the fifth verse, that the Lord says of Jeremiah, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." At the time Jeremiah started prophesying, the 10 tribes of the northern kingdom of Israel were taken into the Assyrian exile for decades already. But now the Assyrian empire is diminishing, and the 2 tribes left in the south of Judah, led by King Josiah, have shaken off the status of a vassal state of Assyria. The heavy taxes they have to pay to Assyria, they don't pay them anymore. As a result, things are going well in Judah. We can imagine that. If you don't have to pay any taxes anymore, the economy is picking up. People are optimistic. Moreover, King Josiah has made all kinds of reforms in the religious sphere. What has he done? Well, boys and girls, what was found in the temple? It was the law of God. And Josiah, he works so that the people listen to the law again. And yet, it all seems to go so nicely, and it seems to be flourishing in the economy and in the church. Yet, all things are not going well at all. How do we know? Well, by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the prophet Jeremiah has to speak on behalf of the Lord. Jeremiah, he sees deeper. He sees sharper. And the Lord gives him words to speak. Which words? What is his message? Well, he can only, and he may only, say one thing. Repent. Look at the chapter. Read the first verse again. Look at it. Jeremiah says it. "Yet return again to me, saith the Lord." Look at it in verse 7. "Turn thou unto me." Verse 12. "Return thou children, saith the Lord." Verse 14. "Turn, O backsliding children." Verse 22. "Return, ye backsliding children." And look at the first verse of chapter 4. "If thou wilt return, O Israel." Can you imagine how the listeners of these words, of this message, react? Wouldn't they get annoyed by it? Wouldn't they get sick and tired of it? It's all the same, over and over again. Please, let the prophet tone it down. How would we react if the pastor preaches the same thing week after week after week? Repent! 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 We write a theme above the sermon this afternoon. The Lord calls the backsliding to repent. The Lord calls the backsliding to repent. three thoughts. Firstly, He wants you. Secondly, He calls you back. And thirdly, He receives you. The Lord calls the backsliding to repent. He wants you. He calls you back. He receives you. Why does the Lord send out Jeremiah with this message? Well, we read it in the middle of our text. Read it. For I am married unto you. It's a picture of a marriage. He has used this picture of a marriage earlier. We read it among other things in the previous chapter, verse 2. In the days of Moses, the people of Israel were like a devoted bride of the Lord. That means that there was a special covenant between God and His people, which He compares to marriage. What lies behind that special connection between God and His people? Well, in paradise, the Lord came to a fallen Adam with, boys and girls, with what? With the mother promise. And that promise that was given to Adam was also given to Abraham in a covenant, in the form of a covenant. And in Abraham to all his descendants, to Israel. And it was confirmed when the Lord gave His people the law, the Ten Commandments, at the Mount Sinai. That is how the Lord married Israel. I am married unto you. I am married. In the Hebrew language, this is stated with great emphasis. We may read also, I myself am married. In other words, no, you didn't ask for it. Nevertheless, it's my initiative. I gave you my salvation. I gave you my word and my sacraments. I gave you my promises and my demands. I am married unto you. Not to other nations. His statutes and His judgments He makes His people know, to them as to no others, His grace He loves to show. Other nations live outside of the covenant. Other nations are unknown to the gospel. But unto you, I am married. The existence of that covenant and word is an expression of God's love and mercy. In that covenant and word, the Lord lets us look into His heart. So much warm love beats behind the worship services also at this moment. So much love beats in the sacraments. As much love as a husband in a good marriage has, for his loving wife. With that much warm love, God seeks our salvation. In his covenant, he promises salvation, eternal life to all who come to him in repentance and in faith. Congregation, is that not a great miracle? That God called a fallen Adam in paradise, and that he promised Adam salvation? Is it not a miracle that God made a covenant with Abraham and his descendants? They didn't ask for God. But God comes with his word. He asks for them. And he wants to unite himself with them. Now all they have to do is trust in him. All they have to do is follow him, obey him, love him, fear him. In the same way, God has come to us and our children. In the covenant of grace, of which holy baptism is a sign and seal, unto us who are conceived and born in sin and therefore are children of wrath, unto us who by nature stand outside of God's kingdom, unto us God has come with his word and his promise of salvation. Boys and girls, I hope your mom and dad tell you the rich blessing of the covenant of grace that the Lord has signed and sealed on your forehead. That God bends down to your and my lost condition. That the Lord wants to be your my God. That he commits himself to us through the covenant of grace. Isn't that an indescribable miracle? I am married unto you. Well, does this mean that all covenant children also receive the promised salvation and eternal life? Unfortunately not. The Lord demands cordial love to him in return. And when that love for him is not there, it's not the Lord's fault, but ours. Those who are born again by word and spirit, those who are united to the Lord Jesus Christ through saving faith and repentance, will be saved. What a great privilege this is. But also a great responsibility to realize that and to pray for the application thereof on our hearts and the hearts of our dear children. I am married unto you. Well, let's ask how that marriage was faring. How was that covenant between God and His people doing in the day of Jeremiah? Not so good. And to make that clear, the prophet starts our chapter by referring to the marriage laws written in Deuteronomy 24. In my own words, it means that when a husband divorces an unfaithful wife, and that woman, after having been married to a second husband, is divorced from him as well, the first husband is not allowed to remarry that woman. Well, with these words in Jeremiah, the Lord makes clear that Israel is behaving like such an unfaithful wife. He even speaks of them as an adulterous harlot, luring lovers. We read it, "Thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness." And congregation, it's not something that caught them by surprise, but it was deliberately pursued. "In the ways hast thou sat for them." They were waiting for them. As the Arabian in the wilderness. No, it's not so much about physical adultery, but it's about spiritual adultery. It's about idolatry. It's about violating the first and the second commandments of the Lord. Having something in place of the Lord or beside the Lord. Not putting all your trust in the Lord alone. Because you have your job. Because you have your health, because you have your wealth, because you have your life with your friends and your leisure, you don't really need God until things start to pinch. When you are in danger of losing your job, when you become sick, or other hardships arrive in our lives, then you need the Lord to restore the happiness of your life. But when things all go well again, you can do without God because your smoothly flowing life is your idol. Idolatry is that what we allow ourselves to be attracted to, things that distract us from God. How terrible is that? What? Well, when a child of the covenant does that, practices idolatry, that's adultery. Do we do that? Young people, do you go places where you cannot meet the Lord with your baptized forehead? By doing so, we indicate that we are not satisfied with the Lord. By doing so, the Lord feels like a husband whose wife has cheated on him. By doing so, God is offended. God is grieved. God is hurt to the depths of His heart. Because of this, God is wroth. God is angry. Then it can seem as if everything is going well in your life, in terms of work, in terms of health, in terms of school, in terms of health. the prophet Jeremiah says it this afternoon to you and to me. And he looks deeper and he looks sharper and he says, turn back thyselves, O backsliding children. I am married unto you. The prophet speaks on behalf of God. And this is also how God speaks to your life at this moment. Thou hast forsaken the Lord. Thou hast committed adultery. What do you think? Will God leave it at that? Is it strange that His wrath is kindled? Is it not a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God? Therefore, turn unto the Lord. Repent. In these words, we hear the Lord still wants you. Therefore, He calls you back. Our second thought. Look, if someone has committed adultery, that is awful. That is so terrible. But imagine somebody playing the harlot with many lovers. If one has grieved you, if one has hurt you, if one has offended you, time after time after time, then you would surely say, get out of here. I don't want to see you evermore. Never come back again. But what says the Lord? Turn, O backsliding children, I still want you. Congregation, behind this appeal, turn, beats so much love, so much comprehensible loving kindness. When you experience something of that for the first time or again this afternoon, it fills your heart, your soul with amazement. For who are called in our text? Well, the Lord calls them backsliding children. And they are children that have received the sign and seal of the covenant of grace, but are apostate. They turn their backs on the Lord. Think of the two tribes of Judah, despite seeing their brothers of the 10 tribes taken into captivity, they, by their sins, they themselves still continue in their sins. But you and I are also such obstinate backsliders. Our nature is characterized by it. In paradise, you and I turned our backs on the Lord. We refuse to obey. We refuse to listen. We refuse to follow the Lord when we fell into sin. Boys and girls, backsliding. What does it remind you of? Maybe you have a nice slide in your backyard. Maybe you even have a pool with one of those slides. Well, that's what we have to think of. On a slide, you always slide down. Further and further down. Well, that's our situation now. We turned our back on the Lord, and now we're on the slide, sliding down further and further. And if God does not forbid, we will enter eternal damnation. As you know, boys and girls, once you start sliding on the slide, you can't stop anymore. As you know, maybe you've tried it just like I have, to try climb up the slide. And maybe you can come a whole way up, but then it's too steep and too slippery and you fly down even faster. It's impossible for us to return to the Lord. That's our natural state, sliding away from the Lord. But even after regeneration, God's people are still so inclined to turn away from God, to slide away. Oh, how terrible. But listen, this afternoon, my backsliding friends, now the Lord does not come to us, and He does not call only righteous children. He does not only call pious children, serious children, seeking children of the covenant. If that were the case, then we would first have to examine ourselves whether or not we are righteous enough. Do I qualify for this message? No. On the contrary, we hear, turn, O backsliding children. Congregation, God unconditionally calls everyone here this afternoon. No one is excluded except those who think well of themselves. They are excluded by themselves. You aren't someone who considers himself to be righteous and does not think he or she needs repentance, are you? Turn, O backsliding children. What does that mean? How do you return to the Lord? Is that your question this afternoon? How do I repent? Well, we see that described in verse 13. Come, let us read those words in verse 13 of Jeremiah 3. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God. This means two things. First, that other things don't help. You can try improving your life. You can subdue certain sins and try to do everything better. But that is not returning to the Lord. That's not heartfelt repentance. Turning to the Lord, repentance means that I know and I acknowledge my iniquity, that it's sin before God. So repentance doesn't mean first improve your sinful life, work away at overcoming sin in your life. Make sure you don't fall back into sin again. Promise improvement. No, that's merciless. That's trying to tell somebody to climb up the slide. Do your best. Come on. Climb up the slide. You have to start yourself. You have to continue yourself in your own strength. That will never work. Repentance means knowing and acknowledging my iniquity before God. What does my sin mean to God? How does God see my sin? Well, then you start to fathom, then you start to understand somewhat the nature of your sin. You start to know something of its depth. That my sin is adultery against God. God, how terrible. He has married me in His covenant. He has only done good unto me. He has given me everything that I need. He intends my well-being. And I have committed adultery with many lovers. Then you start to taste something of the bitterness of your sins. Somebody maybe asks, how far and how deep must this go? Well, so deep that I can't tolerate sin anymore. So far that it drives me out to Christ, because only He can redeem me. Only He can save me by carrying away my guilt and breaking the power of sin. Repentance. Turning unto the Lord means that the goodness of the Lord and the bitterness of sin drive me out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Young people, like the prodigal son in the parable, once he was eating the animal food, he wasn't even allowed to eat it. He thought by himself, I will arise and go to my father. Congregation, do you know this personally as something that began in your life? Conversion. And as something that keeps continuing in your life? Repentance. Then you see clearer and clearer how apostate you are and remain. Then I also discover and discover more deeply the depth of God's unfathomable loving kindness over against my mountain of guilt. And all this, His work, because God also grants repentance. Do you hear that? Maybe you are stuck. You experience the impossibility to repent. You who do not taste the bitterness of your sins, you who cannot believe in the goodness of God, God grants repentance. Do you hear it in His voice to you this afternoon? Turn thou to me. say it in your prayer. Turn thou me, O Lord, and I shall be turned. Congregation, without this repentance, no one should assume that all will be right. Without this repentance, no one should think that God looks down on him or her in favor. There is no blessing. There is no favor. There is no entering into heaven without repentance. Congregation, a blessing from God without repentance, without the acknowledgement of mine iniquity, and without fleeing to Christ is deceit and deception. Therefore, turn, O backsliding children. The Lord calls the backsliding to repent. He wants you. He calls you back. For he receives you. Our final thought. Let us read those last words of our text. And I will take you, one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will take you. Isn't that a great miracle? That's unheard of. You don't want to take back a backslider. You don't want to take back an apostate. You don't want to take back someone who has committed adultery time after time after time, do you? But the Lord saith, I will take you. That's why I called you. Because I want you. Beloved congregation, that is the most solid ground for the assurance of faith. Not that I came, not that I went, not that I received, but that the Lord Himself calls. Would the Lord first call and then not receive you? Would the Lord first say, return? And then later say, but I don't want you back. What does the father in the parable of the prodigal son do, boys and girls? He's standing there at the lookout. When is my lost son coming back? I can imagine the Lord looking down on us and looking for a lost son, a lost daughter. When will he come to me? On the lookout. And when he sees his lost son come, what does he do? Does he turn his back on his son and says, well, I'll wait when you come? No. As soon as the father sees his son, he does something that's not done. He starts running as fast as he can. And he embraces his son as soon as he can. Beloved congregation, seek and find the ground of your acceptance in the fact that you have been or that you are being called at this moment by the Word of God. That is the only weapon against the objections in your own soul. You have sinned too much. You waited too long. Would the Lord still want you? Dirty, backsliding child. But He is calling you. He is calling you now. And I will take you. Literally it says, I will grasp you. What do you have to do on a slide? Somebody is sliding down. Boys and girls, you can see it. What do you do? Well, I'll just take you. No! Somebody is sliding down the slide. I have to grasp you. Because otherwise it's too late. That's what the Lord says here. I will grasp you by my Holy Spirit. My Holy Spirit will give you a desire for me. My Holy Spirit will give you confidence in my goodness. My Holy Spirit will teach you to walk in my ways. I will grasp you. I will take you up. And I will bring you in Zion. Zion. That's Jerusalem. That's where the sacrifices spoke of the reconciled dealings between God and the people through the blood of the animals that were killed. Zion. That means communion with God through Christ by faith. And now says the Lord against two backsliding children, I will take you and I will bring you there, my backsliding child. There where you may deal with me in Christ as a reconciled father. I will bring you there, my backsliding child. There where you enjoy my favor and my eternal love. I will bring you there, backsliding child. Soon in heaven. And I will bring you to completely joy to that of which you have tasted initially here on earth. How is that possible? Oh, because God the Son let Himself be cast out. How can that be? Well, because His Father forsook Him. He, the obedient, the holy, the perfect child, He endured God's wrath, His judgment and curse on account of my sin. He was abandoned from God. By God, so that we may be brought to God. For whom is this? And there you see it. See, it's not for me. Look. One in a city and two of a family. That's so few. There are only so few. How could I be one of them? That's the devil. The devil misuses God's word. These words don't mean, these words don't indicate a limitation of sorts, but an expansion. If only one person from a city came. If only two people from one family came. Then still God would receive them. Even then God would save them. Even for one lost person, God would let the Lord Jesus suffer and die on the cross. Even if no one came, beloved congregation, please, I pray you, by Him who has sent me, please do come. For God so loved the world, tells us that He would have done His work for you alone too. Whoever comes is welcome. God's word is tugging at you this afternoon. God has the salvation of the individual in mind. Whoever cometh to Him, He will in no wise cast out. Whoever comes, comes because it's God's will. He will bring them to Zion. So there is hope for children who have gone astray, who have left the church and indulged in pleasures of the world with their baptized foreheads. But there is also hope for church people who are content with only a form of godliness. Because there will be a great multitude which no man can see, can number. And those will never backslide again. Will you be one of them? Amen. Let us thank the Lord. Lord, we come unto Thee to thank Thee for Thy word, that Thou camest to us, called us through Thy word, we backsliding children by nature. Wilt Thou grasp us, Lord, like we heard? Wilt Thou bring us in Zion? Wilt Thou also do that anew in the hearts of Thy people? Thou knowest where they are. Wilt Thou show them that it's Thy work from beginning to the end? Nothing of us can be added or taken away. Lord, wilt Thou apply Thy word to our hearts by Thy Holy Spirit, that we may seek ourselves and look what's wrong and see unto Thee, that we may acknowledge our iniquity. Wilt Thou reveal our wrongdoings, our unfaithfulness, our unbelief. Lord, make Thy kingdom glorify Thy kingdom through our salvation, the salvation of our dear children. Lord, we thank Thee that we were able to listen to Thy word, and Thou gavest us this opportunity to be with this part of Thy flock. Wilt Thou grant the consistory everything they need to lead the congregation? Grant them humbleness, wisdom, and boldness through faith. And wilt Thou work revivingly in the midst of this congregation. Be with us, Lord. When we return to our houses, wilt thou give us traveling mercies and keep us safe. Be with us this new week when we are called to do our work. Wilt thou give us a loyalty to do our work as best we can in the homes, caring for the family, but also outside the homes, generating income to provide in food and drink. Lord, we commend ourselves unto Thee. Hear us in the name of Thy Son, for Jesus' sake. Amen.